heard an old story about a happy little boy who went out into a field. He had on his baseball cap, and he had a baseball in one hand and a baseball bat in the other. And he was cocking his bat, and he tossed the ball up in the air. But before he did, he said, "I'm the greatest batter in the world." He tossed it up. Strike one, he said. Picked up the baseball and took a hard look at it. Got ready to toss it up again. Tossed it up. "I'm the greatest batter in the world." Strike two. He took his bat and looked at it to make sure there wasn't a hole in it. Amen. Took that ball. He said, "I'm the greatest batter in the world." Strike three. "You're out." And then he said, "Wow, I must be the greatest pitcher in the world." Today is the last Sunday of 2025. And as we look back on the last 12 months, you got to ask yourself a question. Are you a pitcher or a batter? One thing's for sure. At some point in this last year, every one of us has struck out. So I guess it's good for us to be able to start brand new in a brand new year. So what are you looking forward to the most in 2026? Are you eagerly looking, anticipating what each new day is going to bring you? Or if you're honest, are you kind of filled with a sense of dread, worried that maybe this year is going to be worse than last year? If you're honest, are you looking forward to a more intimate and more obedient walk with Jesus Christ? Just like that little boy, your attitude, your mindset, and your response and reaction to events will determine whether this year is going to be a year of defeat or a year of victory. Now, the Apostle Paul was one of those kind of guys who didn't let circumstances get the best of him. Instead, Paul, with God's help, always focused on victory. And I want you to listen to Paul's attitude, to Paul's dedication, to his determination as we share these words in Philippians chapter 3. Now, that's on page 1044 in the Bibles in front of you. But in Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, the Apostle Paul wrote to this church of believers and said, "Not that I have already attained," that is, not that I have it all together, "or that I'm already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." Brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I don't claim to be an expert, Paul said. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. With those words still fresh in our minds, I want to share with you today some suggestions that might help you to become all that you can be in 2026. Beginning with recognizing the value of time. Recognizing the value of time. How much do we value 1 year? Well, just ask a student who has failed a grade how much he values 1 year. How much do you value 1 month? Well, ask a mama who has had a premature baby. Man, if I had just one more month. How much do you value 1 week? Well, ask the editor of a weekly newspaper who's facing a deadline. How much he values a week. How much do you value 1 hour? Well, ask a terminally ill patient who's waiting on a loved one to come visit. Man, I wish they'd get here. I may not have an hour. How do you value 1 minute? Well, just ask someone who has just missed their flight, and as a result, they're going to miss that meeting that can't be rescheduled. Missed it by 1 minute. How much do you value 1 second? Well, ask an Olympian, an Olympic medalist who lost the gold medal by 1 second. Just ask that person who just missed that accident in their car by 1 split second. Ask that person who wanted to say goodbye to their loved one, whom they will never see again. I just had 1 more second. Of course, we know that time is a human invention. I assure you that God does not wear a watch and that God does not use a calendar. The Bible even says that with the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. God deals in eternity. He deals in eternity past, and he deals in eternity future. But while time is not a very important factor to God, time is an important factor to me and you, because our earthly time is limited. We measure our lives in segments of time. We begin with infancy, and then we move on to youth. We move on then to adulthood, to middle age, to old age, and then everything that follows after that. Segments of time. But I want to ask you this question. What is it that makes anything valuable? Do you know that often what makes something valuable is when it's in short supply? Gold right now is in short supply, and the price of gold's going through the roof. Silver is more that way than gold. It's in short supply. So if something is in short supply, it rises in value. If we've got a lot of it, then it loses its value. And the same is true with time. Think about this. This is the way we can understand the generations, the generation gaps, the way that generations think. Here's a quick breakdown of some recent generations, and I want to ask you to help me out today. I'm going to ask you, which generation are you in? And when I ask which generation you're in, I'm going to ask you to stand up for a second, okay? So if you were born between 1946 and 1964, please stand up. I got to stand up with you. I was born in 1963. Everybody look around. These are your baby boomers. Amen? We are baby boomers. Please sit down. Now, if you were born between 1965 and 1980, please stand up. 65 to 80. Here we go. All right, look around, y'all. This is Generation X. Amen? Please be seated. Now, if you're born between 1981 and 1996, Please stand up. 91 to 96. Okay, very good. These are your millennials, y'all. Everybody look at them. These are your millennials, amen, also known as Gen Y. Please be seated. If you're born in 1997 through 2012, please stand. It's kind of what I thought, and I think it would be a lot more if everybody was here today. Look around, y'all. This is Gen Z. This is Generation Z. Amen. Please be seated. Now, if you're born, now these kids are probably in children's church, but if you're born between 2010 and 2024, please stand. Here we go. We do have a couple of them in here. All right. Stand up. This is Generation Alpha. Amen. This is what you got to look forward to for the leadership of your nation. Amen. Please be seated. Now, do we have anybody that was born last year? The only one I thought about was Sterling, right? Sterling would be in Generation Beta. Amen. So anyway, my point is this. Young people feel like they got plenty of time. And therefore, because they think they have plenty of time, time loses value, and they're not very concerned about wasting time. They're not very concerned about squandering their time. On the other hand, when you start getting up in years like your pastor, we begin to realize that time is in short supply. Amen? And therefore, it's more valuable. So, if you're over 60 years old, you might say to somebody under 20, don't squander your time because it's valuable. To which they might say, no, it's not. I've got plenty of time. I'll live the way I want to live. And the wider the age gap, the wider the generation gap. And it's all because of the different value people place on time. Now, the Bible often speaks of just how short life is. The Bible talks a lot about how brief life is. James even compared life to a vapor that's here 1 second and gone the next. That's your life. But statisticians tell us that the average lifespan for human beings is 76 years old. That's the average. So if you're under 30, you may think, well, I got a long time. If you're nearing 76, you may say, I may got a short time. And if you're over 76, you're living on borrowed time. Amen? Now, somebody went to the trouble of researching what people do with the time they're afforded. What people do with the time in their lives, and they came up with these results. If we live to be around 75 years old, we will have spent 3 years, that's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 3 years getting an education. Grade school, high school, college or trade school, whatever the case is, 3 years. Getting an education. You will have spent 7 years eating. Now, some eat more and some eat less. Amen. You will have spent 14 years, day and night, working to make a living. You will have spent 5 years riding in a car or flying in an airplane, traveling. You will have spent 5 years talking. Again, some more and some less. Somebody say amen. You will have spent 1 year either sick or recovering from sickness. And get this. You will have spent 24 years sleeping. 24 years of your life sleeping. You will have spent 3 years reading books, magazines, or other periodicals. You will have spent 12 years entertaining yourself, watching TV or online or using your phone, whatever the case may be. And the total is 75 years. So that's what researchers say that on average, most people do with their lives. Now, when you hear those statistics, I want you to consider something. Suppose that you spend every single Sunday morning of your life throughout the 75 years, through infancy, childhood, adulthood, and old age, worshiping in a church service. Do you know how much time you will have spent if every single Sunday you spent it worshiping God in a church service? You will have spent 5.5 months worshiping God in a church service. You say, no, but Brother Bill, I don't miss Sunday school. I never miss life group. So let's assume that's the case. That's going to double your time, and that means you will have spent 11 months worshiping God in some kind of church service. Now, here's my point. You spend 5 years in a car traveling, but you spend 11 months worshiping God in the church service. You spend 12 years of your life entertaining yourself and 11 months worshiping God in a church service. That tells you plenty, not only about how brief life is, but also how misplaced our priorities can be throughout the course of our life. The Bible does teach that life is brief, but the Bible also teaches that life is uncertain. Time is like a very valuable commodity in a very delicate vessel. If the vessel breaks, you might lose it all. And we don't know much about the future, do we? In fact, you know what all you really know? All you really know is about this moment. That's all you know. This moment. And because of the uncertainty of life, the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Hebrews tells us, today, if you will hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. Today, if you hear God's voice, be obedient. And all that being said, friends, I want to tell you that to be all that you can be in the coming year, you got to recognize the value of time, but you also need to take advantage of your time. Because you don't know how much you got. Secondly, if you want to be all that you can be in the coming year, I want to encourage you, don't be in bondage to your past. God has given us many wonderful gifts in this life, and one of the gifts that he's given us is the ability to remember. Now, your memory can be your friend or your foe. Your memory can be your buddy or your enemy. So when you remember 2025 last year, hopefully you're going to remember some pleasant things about the year. But undoubtedly, you're also going to remember some negative things about last year. And sometimes we choose to dwell on the negative things. And when we start to do that, you know what happens? We start feeling sorry for ourselves. Consider this. Maybe this past year has been a time of transition for you. Maybe your children have grown up and they've got married and they left home. And so now you're faced with the empty nest syndrome. And maybe you're worried about that, but maybe you're celebrating that. I'm just kidding, Grace Ann. I wish you were my kid. I wish you were my kid. Amen. Yeah. That's good. But maybe your job came to an end. And now you're trying to figure out how you're going to make ends meet financially. Maybe you had a loved one to die. And you are struggling to cope with the loneliness and the grief that you're struggling with. Maybe there was a time in this past year where sin got a real hold on your life. And you're struggling with that burden of despair, that burden of guilt. It's all because of that sin that had hold on you. You see, those things will cripple you if you let them. Those things will hold you in bondage to your past if you let them. Those things can prevent God's best from being manifest in your life if you let it. And that's why Paul said, forgetting what's behind. Forgetting what's behind. You see, Paul had a lot to forget, see. He had a very shaky past. See, Paul had persecuted the church. Paul had persecuted the servants of Jesus Christ. Paul had the authority to actually kill Christians. And Paul, by his own admission, said, I am the chief of sinners, the worst of the worst. Now, Paul could have walked around with his head hung low, carrying that burden of guilt and allowing that burden to cripple him, and he never would have become the apostle that we know and love today. You know what Paul said? Uh-uh. Forgetting what's behind. I'm not forgetting the lessons I learned, but I'm forgetting what's behind because the past is in the past, and I can't do anything about it. In other words, it's like Paul went to God and said, Father, I commit my past to you. I want to seek your forgiveness for all the sins of my past. I want to look forward, Lord, to what lies ahead for your glory. Father, I'm going to give it my best shot. I'm going to do the best I can, and I'm going to do it all for you. Boy, that's great advice, amen. That's great advice for me, and that's great advice for you too. To be all that we can be in 2026, let's make sure we recognize the value and take advantage of time. Whatever we do, don't you let the past hold you in bondage. Forget what's behind. Learn the lessons, but move forward. And that brings us to our last point today. Recognize the value of time. Don't let the past hold you in bondage, but make sure you establish a priority for your future. For your future. How many of you know that God is far more concerned about your future than he is your past? Somebody say amen. We need to be more concerned about our future than we are our past. We need to be focused on establishing a future priority in our lives. Now, here's the way Paul said it. Paul said, forgetting what's behind, one thing I do, one I do, Paul said. Now, Paul did a lot of stuff. He did more than one thing. Amen. He made tents. He preached sermons. He planted churches. He healed the sick. He wrote books of the Bible. Paul did a lot. But above all that, Paul said, more importantly than any of that other stuff, the top priority in my life is to press on toward the goal to win the prize of the upward call of God on my life in Christ Jesus my Lord. Wow. That's a future priority. So what top priorities do you have? What top priorities are you pressing toward in 2026? Have you ever even thought about it yet? That's what today's about. It's to get you thinking about what your top priority for the coming year is and should be. I don't know what your top priorities are, but as a disciple of Jesus Christ, I know what they should be. I know that your priority every day of your life should be to draw nearer and nearer and nearer to God. The Bible says that if you'll draw near to me, I will draw near to you. But not only drawing near to God, also our priority every day ought to be to spend time with God in prayer. Do you know that the Bible says if you will confess your sins, God says, I am faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you'll just come to me in prayer, confess the past so that you can move forward to a vibrant future. Draw nearer to God. Spend more time with Him, communicating with your Father, but also your priority every day. Every day. Somebody say every day. Every day, you ought to be seeking God's guidance by spending time in His Word. Every single day. You ought not be able to do without it. Every single day. God said that my word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. It'll give you the guidance you need if you'll seek me in the word of God. See, if you don't get these priorities in, you can't expect things to happen for you. You can't expect to be the best you can be in 2026. And can I go further to say, if you don't get these priorities in first, you probably ain't going to get them in at all. If you put it off till noon, if you put it off till evening, you'll probably put it off till tomorrow. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the rest will fall into place. Seek first. In other words, put God first and the rest will be blessed. Put God first and the rest will be blessed. My friend, you and I have just gone through another Christmas season, and I bet you many of you, like me, are glad to have it gone. I'm looking forward to Christmas 2026. Amen. Another one's passed. And the world has been reminded yet again that God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Hallelujah is right. In God's love, He offered us the most wonderful gift we could possibly receive. My question to you is this. Are you confident? Are you positive that you have received the gift of God that saves you from the penalty of your sins? Read another story about an old beggar woman who finally ran out of money. She couldn't pay her rent. She couldn't pay any of her debts. The landlord had already threatened to evict her. And if she didn't pay her rent soon, she was out. But because her power had already been shut off, she had to get warmth from this one candle that she had. And then on Christmas morning, as she was warming her hands by the candle, she heard a knock at the door. You know what she thought? Oh my goodness, it's the landlord coming to throw me out. And so she blew out the candle. And she stayed quiet in the darkness until that mysterious person left. About 2 weeks later, she found out that it was a friend, a close friend who had come to give her enough money to catch her up on her rent and pay every one of her debts. I wonder how many people have heard the gentle knock of our Savior, but instead of being freed from their sin debt, instead of just suffering there in the darkness, instead of just ignoring the knock, they just chose not to answer. Today is God's invitation to all and to any who might accept Jesus as their Savior, who might accept Jesus as the Lord of their life. But it's also God's invitation to those who would desire to be all they can be for God's glory in the coming year. Now, I probably just addressed all of us there in that last statement, because we should all desire to be all that we can be for the glory of God. But to make that happen, you're going to have to recognize the value of time and take advantage of the time you have. You're going to need to make sure that you do it now. Today. Today. Don't harden your heart, but hear the word of God. But you also need to make sure you don't stay in bondage to your past. Y'all, the past is past. There ain't a single thing you can do about that. You got to let it go. But you also need to establish a priority for your future. What is your priority plan for 2026? More importantly, what is your priority plan for eternity? See, Jesus came as a baby in a manger, and he came that way to deal with your past. But he also came as your Redeemer and mine to guarantee us a future and a hope, beginning with a brand new year. So, friend, this morning, Jesus patiently waits. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and the Lord of your life, he's waiting patiently. But what about you who have been a Christian for a while? You've had that relationship for a little while. Are you ready to move forward? Or are you just going to stay stuck in 2025? I pray you answer the door. So as we stand and sing this morning, God says, are you going to come? Will you come? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we praise you and thank you for a message like this that reminds us of the brevity of life, but also reminds us how uncertain life is. But we're so grateful that you've taken care of our past. And now it's time, as Paul did, to look forward to victory, to establish a priority plan beginning with the coming new year. Father, for the one who has never accepted Christ and wants to go to heaven, this is a time for them to come and make sure their future is secure. But even for the believer, Lord, who is ready to move forward in their spiritual maturity, to grow in their relationship with you through Christ Jesus, this is also their opportunity, Lord, to come and make the necessary arrangements, take the necessary steps, so that they can be all that you want them to be. And they'll all be for your glory. Father, you have your will and your way. And Lord, you speak to each and every individual in this room today, and even the ones listening online. Lord, help us not to harden our hearts and not hear the word of God today. And we'll give you praise for every decision that's made in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand together and sing, okay?